When we spoke to Eastern Kentucky University's president last fall, the school's Board of Regents was still discussing how to react to statewide budget cuts for education.
We're grappling with how we're going to come up with this recurring $7 million cut. And that's why we're looking at everything from the program suspensions to changes in our healthcare to outsourcing of various functions on campus, cuts to athletics. Nothing is off limits, and we're looking at everything.
On this week's Eastern Standard, we're interested in your questions, comments, or stories for EKU President Michael Benson. Send them now by email, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. Post them to the Facebook page or the WEKU website at weku.fm. Send a tweet at WEKUEST. In just a little while, we'll open the phones as well. It's time for Eastern Standard with EKU President Michael Benson, right after the news from NPR. From the studios of WEKU on the campus of Eastern Kentucky University, this is Eastern Standard. Hello, I'm John Hingsbergen. This week, we welcome back to the studio the 13th president of Eastern Kentucky University, Dr. Michael Benson, who has been here at Eastern almost 4 years now. Is that right?
It'll be 4 years in July. That's right.
Okay. I'm keeping track because actually we restarted this radio program in August of 2013. And you had just come on board.
Correct.
You were one of the very first guests for the program. So, Michael Benson, thank you for being with us in the studio.
My pleasure, John. It's always good to be with you, and you always are very thorough, and I'm sure you have some really tough questions this morning.
I'm loaded for bear here, I hope.
Loaded for colonel.
Yeah, exactly. For colonel, exactly. But there's a lot going on, and of course, with universities across the Commonwealth bracing for the adjustments necessary for funding, as a result of budget decisions in Frankfurt, there are administrative changes going on at universities. Of course, we've had a major change in the administration in Washington, D.C. I'm interested in whether or not that's going to make any difference to universities such as Eastern Kentucky University. But let me say this. Our focus is what you're interested in, our listeners. If you'd like to interact with the president of Eastern Kentucky University on this Thursday morning, you can do so by calling now 800-621-8890. You can send us an email, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com, or send a tweet at WEKUEST. And I guess if you responded directly to EKU Prez, would you get that on your phone right here?
I would, yeah.
So it would pop right up. But I'd like to get in the loop here, too. So send it to at WEKUEST and copy EKU Prez if you like. And that way, if you have a specific question that you'd like him to respond to, he could get back with you. Our show is live on Thursday morning. Thank you for tuning in. And President Benson, let's talk about one of the peripheral things we were discussing before the show is that there have been some changes in administration of some of the other universities in Kentucky. I know Western Kentucky University recently announced a new president. Kentucky State is in the process of hiring a president. Morehead State needs a new president. Where does all that stand and how does that affect you here at Eastern?
As I joked with our Board of Regents just a few weeks ago at our meeting, I am now the second senior president in my fourth year, if you were to take length of tenure in Kentucky, so second only to Eli Capiluto at the University of Kentucky. So Wayne Andrews will be retiring this summer at Morehead State. Jeff Burns was just announced that he's leaving to go to Ball State from Northern Kentucky. Kentucky State, of course, is going through some changes there. In Frankfurt, where else did you mention? Oh, yeah, they just named a new president at Western, Tim Caboni, who's coming from the University of Kansas, or Kansas University, rather. So there are some changes still in all. It's important for institutions to realize that the institutional memory of a place is important, and the institution continues to move forward, even though presidents may come and go. What really is important are the students, the faculty, and the staff, the people that have been there for a long time, and the traditions and the programs that are moving forward. So we try our best to keep our forward momentum doing just that. So there's a lot to build on here, and we're excited about the future.
And you've been working very closely with the Board of Regents to adjust the budget to make changes as necessary because of the funding structures being changed in Frankfurt. That's going well?
It is going well. And as we started the program, I told you you were a little panicked, John, because I got here just as we were going on air. And one reason is I was listening to On Point, and the On Point segment before the show was an interview or the discussion on Warren Buffett. And I was reading about Warren Buffett and his circle of competence and his philosophy on stocks. And it's not dissimilar to what we, I think, need to focus on at EKU, and that is we don't have to swing at everything. You know, Ted Williams talks about the art of hitting, and he had this diagram of 77 boxes. And in 77 boxes, he had numbers in each of those boxes. And let's say, for example, the bottom right part of the strike zone. If he swung at that pitch, he was going to probably hit 190. Upper right left portion of the strike zone. If he swung at that pitch, it may be 170.
He had that all worked out
scientifically? He had 77 boxes. He had a number written in each box. Now, there were two boxes right smack dab in the middle that were 400. And guess what? Ted Williams was the greatest hitter probably of all time because he swung at the pitches that he knew he could hit. And he could put where fielders weren't. And Warren Buffett calls those the circle of competence. And I think institutions that would do well, particularly public institutions in the 21st century, need to focus on their circles of competence, what they do well, what they do that are unique, what do we do at Eastern Kentucky University particularly well, and what can we do even better?
Okay, let's talk about that, because I know that was a big issue. Everyone was waiting for early December, the Board of Regents meeting, when they were going to announce programs that they were going to adjust, modify, remove from the course offerings. And the list that I have prepared tells me that included a BA and minor in comparative humanities, BA in English theater concentration, but the theater minor will be retained and two theater certificates established, BA in English theater teaching, BA and minor in French, BA in French teaching, an MBA concentration in accounting, MBA concentration in integrated communication, associate of applied science, science for engineering. And again, what I was told before the show is that approximately 160 students are now enrolled in those programs, but they'll be able to complete their degrees. So that whole process of choosing to eliminate some of the programs or cut them back, I guess it was looked at, numbers were looked at in terms of how many students were affected?
Yes, and it was a difficult and at times arduous and painful process in the sense that, you know, people and lives and careers and students were impacted. And as we went through the process that started back really at the end of the legislative session back in April of last year, when we knew that performance-based funding was coming, and that coupled with the fact that our base budget was going to be cut, we realized that we had to make some fairly significant reductions. And then the board gave us a charge to make even more reductions to reinvest into those programs where we know we can do well. You know, where are we getting the greatest return on the investments? Our nursing program and education and aviation and occupational therapy. So, you know, as I've said, John, we can't be everything to everybody. And as performance-based funding is now a reality, and I say that because I just came from Frankfurt yesterday, where we met with the Senate bill sponsor, and it's going to happen. And we are going to be held accountable for producing students in particular degree fields and be given credit for those degrees. And there's a weighting system based on those particular degrees. And it's not that we don't value all degrees, but in this new system, certain degrees will be weighted in a certain way. And we're going to be kind of graded on that system. So
who's going to be monitoring that, or who's going to be doing that grading? I mean, pardon my hesitation or my concern, but I hope it's not the elected officials themselves reviewing that.
No, as you know, the Council on Postsecondary Education based in Frankfurt, they're the ones that have come up with all the kind of formulaic, the calculus to run the system, or run the formula, rather. And they'll be the ones that kind of take the data from us and then put it into the black box and come up with the outputs, as it were. And then that gets reported back to the legislature, and then our appropriation is based on how we do. Now, there's a period where, as we call it, a look-back period. After a couple, 3 years, we'll be able to say, was there a collateral impact on institutions that was not anticipated? So there is a kind of a hold harmless period that I think will be beneficial. Still in all, we tried to make a case yesterday to Senator Givens. Look, Senator Givens, we have done more with less. our retention rates are up, our graduation rates are up, our graduates in underrepresented minority populations, all of those numbers are trending in the right direction. And yet we're going to be graded by this new formula, and we do not want to hamstring the performance that we're improving. So there's uncertainty out there, but I don't want to let that in any way diminish the performance that we've had heretofore and to this point.
By way of quick review, is the amount that Eastern is working to adjust with $7 million per year? That's an annual loss in funds that was available in the past?
No, well,
I know there was a $7 million number tossed out there, correct?
Well, there are various numbers. The share of our base budget from the state that goes into the performance pool is $59 million. Now, the number that you may be referring to is our base budget reduction coupled with some of the other fixed cost reductions that we had to come up with. But in the aggregate, it was just north of $11 million. So when the Board of Regents gave us the charge to reduce our base budget, we had to come up with that number. As I said, that coupled with the uncertainty about performance-based funding really did kind of create some angst on campus, I know, back last semester. But as I told the Faculty Senate just a few weeks ago, you know, last semester's behind us. We had to make some tough choices, and we did it. But I'm forward-thinking, and the future ahead of us, I think, is very, very bright.
And those choices, I mean, they affected these courses, so I assume that meant faculty who were teaching those courses are gone.
Correct. Well, they were given notice, and the timely notice as is required. But, yes, as you mentioned, too, those students will be taught out in the programs where they're declared majors, and we'll take care of them.
What about other potential budget cuts? Do you anticipate anything else happening in the next year, couple of years?
Well, it's hard to divine what will come out of Frankfort, but if you listen to the State of the Commonwealth address by the governor, he talked about tax increases as a way to grow the pie for the entire state, which was, I think, a little... I think a lot of Republicans didn't anticipate that coming from a Republican governor, but the governor did say, look, if we're going to address the pension issue, which he said from the get-go is the most pressing issue facing the state, coupled with some of the other pressing funding needs that we have, public education, higher education, health care, Medicaid, all those sorts of kind of encumbrances we have on our state budget, you've got to grow the pie. And the only way to do that really is to bring in more revenue. So whether it's tax increases or it's changing our tax code, the way that we take in money and the allowances that are currently on the books and closing some of those loopholes, it's a combination of all those things.
We're going to take a short break, and we'll be back with Eastern Kentucky University President Dr. Michael Benson. Your questions, your comments, your stories are invited. We have a couple of emails waiting. We have phone lines open, I think five or six lines you could get on to. Only one per caller, please. 800-621-8890. Send us an email, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. Send a tweet at WEKUEST. And President Michael Benson will be able to respond to your question, or if he doesn't know the answer to your question, I'm sure he'll get back with you. But we can forward it to him after the program. That phone number, once again, 800-621-8890. Michael Benson with us until noon on this Thursday on 88.9 WEKU.
Morning and out to school. The teacher is teaching the golden rule. American history and practical math. You study them hard and hoping to pass. Working your fingers right down to the bone. And the guy behind you won't leave you alone.
This is Eastern Standard on the WEKU stations. Eastern Kentucky University President Michael Benson with us on this Thursday morning. glad to hear from you with your questions about Eastern Kentucky University, your comments, your stories. Always glad to hear from alumni. It's kind of fun. Every once in a while, we'll get a call from an alum telling their stories about having been at Eastern in days gone by. So please feel free to do so and interact with this current president, the 13th president of Eastern Kentucky University, 800-621-8890, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com, the Twitter address at wekuest. Talking about budget matters, President Benson, one email that just came in a moment ago, a listener asking, and this is a listener, Thomas. Usually don't give last names on the air, and of course, listeners, if they choose to remain anonymous, let us know you don't want your name mentioned at all. But Thomas asked, why can't the $7 million come out of subsidized sports? I understand that nearly $13 million goes to sports programs.
That number is not exactly accurate. We've gone through this discussion before, and I know there are people that feel like we spend too much on athletics at EKU. A big proponent of our student athletes, they have a higher graduation rate of our non-student athlete population. They retain at a higher rate. They represent the university very, very well. They compete and do well at the national level. I think of the student athletes that have gone on and played professionally. The great majority don't. The great majority will go on and pursue careers in their chosen fields of study. Most athletic programs at our level, the FCS level, do have to subsidize athletics. You know, you read about a place like the University of Kentucky, and I heard a presentation from the president of UK just 10 days ago saying that their athletic department donated back $60 million to help build a classroom building at UK. It's a completely different animal when the Southeast Conference gives each school in that conference $40 million from the SEC network.
Wow.
It's just
for the broadcast rights.
For the broadcast rights, it's a completely different animal. So we try our best at our level to do what we can and to compete, and to make sure our fans are proud of our student athletes, and I certainly am. But we also try and strike a balance that we believe is that right balance, and I think we do a pretty good job at it.
A couple of other questions, and again, we remind our listeners that you can write to us by email, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com, or give us a call. We'd love to get your voice on the radio, and if you choose to remain anonymous, just tell our phone screener that you prefer to not have your name mentioned on the air, and we will honor that. 800-621-8890. This one from a listener choosing to remain anonymous. They ask, first, as a long-term Richmond resident, I love the new look and the modernization of the campus and look forward to the pedestrian walkway that is planned for the bypass. That's another project, I guess, that is still on the drawing board after getting the existing pedestrian walkway put back together. It's got a little bit of work to be finished on it yet. We'll talk a little bit about some of these capital projects in a few minutes. But this person asking, I believe much of the building has been funded privately or public-private partnerships. We all know there is no such thing as a free lunch. Someone is paying for this. Will the enterprises that are building and funding the new dorms receive the revenue from the housing fees the students pay? Will this cut into the revenue the university receives?
It's a very good question, and it's all very transparent in terms of what agreements we came to with the private investors. The state of Kentucky, as you know, approved P3 partnerships. That's how UK did a lot of their housing, and some of the other campuses have done theirs. Ours is certainly not on the scale of some universities as they've done, but it's kind of a shared revenue model that we have. They have to certainly make back part of their investment in our campus in terms of leasing the property to them so they can come in and build. But we were very happy with the company that came in and won the bid because we got everything that we wanted, including a few other things, like a new parking structure, our first ever, that's being built behind the science, our new science center, and also the Karloftis Garden. So once things are done, I think people are going to see a whole new Eastern Kentucky University campus that's going to be incredibly attractive and very enticing to prospective students, and also, I think, provide a new sense of pride for our alumni and our friends that come back to campus. So it's true. I mean, Aramark, for example, they wanted a longer contract in exchange for a very significant capital investment on campus, and that's why they're building the new dining hall. But it's a 15-year contract they got on campus.
Will their name be on that hall?
No. Okay. It won't. I mean, you'll see Aramark trucks continue to drive around campus.
We see them now.
You do. And to their credit, I think the service has improved. We continue to work with Chris, our point of contact with Aramark, and they continue to be very responsive to our feedback as to how they're doing. And believe me, I get a lot of responses and tweets from students on when they're not serving tater tots on the third floor of a PAL or whatever. But by and large, we've tried our best to be responsive to offering the right kind of food in terms of the private vendors, in terms of what we have in our new, what we will have in our new dining facility. And when that comes online in December, January of next year, I think people are going to be very, very happy.
I mean, I'm not sure if I heard the answer to this or not, but the question, will the fees that are paid and the financial arrangements cut into revenue the university receives? Sounds to me like you're saying the university's benefiting more than losing anything.
We're not going to be in the red on this deal. We wouldn't have done the deal if we were. But we'll be made whole, and after a 30-year term, those buildings actually revert back to the university.
Second question, which I think speaks to the heart of most everyone in Richmond near this campus, this emailer writes, can you please take your magic key and turn the traffic lights that are on campus to flashing rather than cycling through red and green at very low traffic times like Sunday mornings or late at night? Stopping for a 2-minute red light at 7 a.m. on a Sunday morning or an evening in July is a waste of fuel and time. I'm not talking about roads that are off campus like Lancaster or the bypass, but roads that are completely on the campus. You have no control over the traffic lights, do you?
I don't.
This would be a great time for you to check into that.
And in fact, if Paul Gonneau is listening, who is our facilities person, Paul, if you look into that, if not, I'll give him a call after our conversation. But, of course, the roads that circumambulate the campus are Kentucky Department of Transportation roads, but those ones that are interior to campus, I'll have to look into.
I mean, what's with some of these traffic lights in Richmond? I've heard on social media, I've seen comments about the longest traffic lights in the world in some situations where you might sit at Lancaster trying to cross the bypass for, I think I've timed it, 2, 3, 4 minutes. I've probably sat there 4 minutes at one time.
I'm not sure if you can say that's the longest in the world, John, but
there might be one in Shanghai or somewhere.
It's hard to quantify that, but there's a way. I'm certainly sure that we can work with engineers of KDOT to work on that. I know, for example, working with the Pedway over the bypass, we've working with them in terms of sight lines because you have to have a certain number of feet as you come down that slight incline from the Center for the Arts and the intersection there by the Alumni Coliseum down to the intersection of the bypass in Lancaster. So we interface with our local and state officials quite a bit, but I'll talk to Paul about the ones interior to campus and see what we can do.
This is Eastern Standard with President Michael Benson of Eastern Kentucky University, ready to respond to your questions. Anybody on the line yet? Nobody on the calls? Nobody there? 800-621-8890. So if you call right now, you'll be first in line and get right on the air to talk to President Benson. 800-621-8890. Of course, the show live on Thursday morning. The email, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. Send a tweet at wekuest. We picked up a new Twitter follower here, but no questions yet at WEKUEST. Dr. Benson, in the past week or so, I always like when we talk about the capital improvements that are happening on what has been called the Campus Beautiful for many years, but it's getting more beautifuler as time goes
more
by.
More beautifuler? Yeah. I think if our English faculty are listening, John, they're going to wrap your knuckles.
I know. But in all seriousness, there's some stuff going on that really makes this campus look very nice. And I pulled out my cell phone camera the other evening when I was taking a walk and snapped some shots of some of the things happening on campus. And so our listeners can find that on their website at weku.fm. If you go to the posting for today's program, you'll find a nice little slideshow of some of these things. Oh. Let's talk about some of these projects. Some are completed. I know the Turner Gate opened, was that in the fall?
It was, yeah. We opened in time for our new tradition of walking the freshmen through the gate, and we hope that that will kind of gain some traction as a long-standing tradition for our freshman class to come up Lancaster and walk through that gate as a way to kind of symbolically enter into campus to gain wisdom and knowledge as you enter into that gate. So there's more than just the kind of the physical walking through. There's also some symbolism to it.
Right near that, if you're approaching the gate to your right, is the Karloftis Garden, which I know is not completed. There's some construction equipment and some mud and all down there, but it's starting to look very nice. Tell us about that and who paid for that and what was the goal for that garden?
So the new residence halls, so New Martin Hall and New Hall B, the part of the package of the winning team that bid on those. The two kind of accoutrements that came with that, the add-ons, were the parking deck and the Karloftis Garden. So on the south end of the Karloftis Garden, if you've seen it, it's all still kind of in kind of bad shape. And they left it that way because of the staging area. They have to put a lot of the equipment and the infrastructure and some of the stuff that they need to finish the hall. So once all the hall is done, then they'll finish out that, they'll sod it. But the garden itself is in place. The plants are starting to take, and the cisterns, and there's going to be a beautiful fountain funded by a donor who's actually the CEO of Bacardi, a graduate, Scott Norkitz's his name, and a very generous donation that helped us pay for that fountain. And once that's done and you tie it into the Turner Gate and the Pedway, we met today with Kathy Flood, who has a tie to Elmwood. And we're going to work with the city to try and open up Elmwood as a way to get the city engaged and create some walking trails into Elmwood. So let people enjoy that beautiful space, because it's not very often you get a green space right in the city center or the heart of a city like Richmond. And so we're trying to make campus even more pedestrian friendly. I think, you know, if the Olmsted brothers came back today and saw campus, they'd say, you know, the buildings we designed there along Lancaster still look pretty good. The ravine could use a touch-up, but the automobile still dominates the campus. And our goal is, yes, to provide perimeter parking and provide a shuttle surface that can get you from point A to point B in a timely fashion, but allow you also to, like Walt Disney used to say, a walk is a luxury, and you should enjoy it. And you should get out and enjoy the campus beautiful and all that it has to offer.
The old Martin Hall was just taken down a number of months ago, and there's already a structure there.
Yeah.
Looks like
a big structure.
Yeah. What's happening? That's a dormitory?
It is a residence hall. That's what we like to call them now these days, John.
Ah, okay. So back in the Animal House days, we call them
right.
Dorms.
Residence hall or a living learning center, because it's got a lot. It's got classroom space in it. It has a lot of different spaces within it. Over 600 beds. It's going to be beautiful. In fact, I'm touring it tomorrow. I've been really anxious to get inside it to see it, but the exterior, kind of the shell of it now, the skin of it is just about done, and they're working hard on the inside now.
The new science building, again, that one, that's taken a little longer because I assume that's a very complex structure.
Yeah, anytime you build a complex facility like that with the lab space and you need all the hood and the stuff to get the air circulating like that, it's going to take a little more time. But 340,000 square feet, $132 million, all paid for by the state of Kentucky. So when I talk about the public-private, yes, that's the residence hall. Yes, it's the new dining facility. Turner Gate was paid for by a private donation. But we have the state legislature to thank for our science complex. And when it opens, John, it's going to be the nicest science facility anywhere in the state, maybe anywhere in the region.
Scholar House, I guess that's the facility right across from the recreation and the fitness and recreation center.
Correct.
Is that another residence hall?
That's a residence hall, which is really unique. They have these at UK and U of L, but we're the first. It's the first here. It's a partnership with the federal government, a housing agency, with Kentucky Ruby Foothills, with the city, with EKU. We provide the property. But through a federal grant, single parents that maintain a full 12-credit-hour load per semester can live in subsidized housing. And if you maintain that load, you can live in the housing. Once you're done, once you graduate, then you have to leave, and you provide that housing is provided to the next student.
Subsidized, that means a lower than normal fee?
Lower than normal fee, and child care is also provided. So if you look at the structure now, there are three of them already done. I think the roofs are on. and there's a fourth one that will be constructed, the pads in, and I drive around every day to kind of keep tabs on things so I can kind of check on the progress. But child care is going to be provided, and it's going to be unbelievable. I mean, think about the one thing, John, that can change your life. It's access to education. And if we could provide a facility whereby particularly single parents, many of whom maybe have been dealt a tough hand in life, if we could provide that opportunity where child care can be provided to their children, they can make it to class, not have to worry about it, and they can knock that degree out and have a chance for gainful employment and to really move on in their lives. I'm so happy that this one worked out. Of all the projects, I think I'm the most happy and proud about that one.
Wow. And that opens again when?
That opens this summer.
This summer?
Yes, sir.
Wow. Okay. From what I've seen, I thought we were a ways from that project coming along. We'll try to take pictures of that and post that. I don't think I have those included in the stuff that I put on the website.
When I say the summer, it'll be open in time for fall.
For the fall, sure.
Right.
And actually, fall semester starts in the summer. One of the other projects I didn't realize was going to happen, all of a sudden the stuff started happening to the baseball field on campus. And I know baseball is an important sport to Eastern Kentucky University. How is that happening, and what's that going to involve?
Well, the baseball facility, we undertook it not just for our baseball team, but for our community. You know, one thing I've seen is I've gone to other communities. For example, Elizabethtown, they have an unbelievable sports complex there where my son plays travel soccer. And think of all the families that come there and participate and spend money in the community at the various tournaments. Sure, our baseball team is going to play at the Earl Combs Stadium, but if we can start attracting high school tournaments, Legion tournaments, region tournaments, whatever it is, to that facility and attract more people to our community, have them spend their dollars, prospective students see campus. That's what we're really excited about. We're going to cut the ribbon in April. April, I think, the 16th. It's a Friday night. It's going to be named for Earl Combs, 1927 leadoff hitter for the New York Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
Think about this lineup, John. Of the nine hit batters of the 27 Yankees, six are in the Hall of Fame. Imagine trying to face that lineup. And he was a leadoff batter. Babe Ruth batted number three. Lou Gehrig was number four.
And Combs is an alum of Eastern?
He was a graduate of Eastern Kentucky Teachers College. His grandson, Craig, lives across the street from us. And Craig's wife, Dory, is a retired faculty member. And he was also the chair of our Board of Regents. His portrait hangs in my office.
Wow.
And every day I walk by it and I think, a son of Richmond, Kentucky, right here. Member of the Hall of Fame.
And that's going to be fun. So that ribbon cutting will be open to the public?
It will, yeah.
We'll try to get the word out about that. April 16th, you know, the day before. So the 16th, it'll be a good day to celebrate. We're here with Eastern Kentucky University President Michael Benson. We're live for another 20 minutes on this Thursday morning, and we'd love to hear your voice live at 800-621-8890. If you have a question, a comment, or a story, 800-621-8890. Send us an email, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. Send a tweet at WEKUEST. Are there words to this fight song, President Benson?
Yes, and I'm embarrassed to say, I know some of them, but I hear it all the time. I went to the women's basketball game last night, and I heard it. And don't put me on the spot
thanks a lot. It's just kind of an impromptu sort of a thing. So if a listener would like to call us and tell us the words to that fight song that we have just heard, that's the EKU fight song. 800-621-8890. Eastern Standard is our program with President Michael Benson of Eastern Kentucky University. We've been talking about capital projects on the campus, and we've been talking about funding adjustments necessary because of changes in funding from the Commonwealth of Kentucky. And, of course, any topic that is on your mind is a fair game if you'd like to speak with President Benson, 800-621-8890. Let's go to the phone and talk to Charles from Lexington. Charles, thank you for calling. You are on the air.
Yes, I'm a December 81 and May 85 graduate of Eastern. Very proud of the college and everything President Benson's doing. My question is with the loss of civics education in our high schools and middle schools, is there any thought that maybe the university could make as a required course for incoming students a basic civics class so that we are creating citizens who at least have a basic understanding of how the government is supposed to work and what our responsibilities as citizens are?
Well, Charles, thank you very much for your call, and thank you for being a loyal colonel. I, with you, share your concern. I'm a firm believer that our middle school, well, really elementary school up through high schools, really should take responsibility for civics courses. I've got three kids that go to the Model Lab School here on campus, and I try and kind of inculcate into them how important it is for them to be responsible citizens. You know, I think a lot of it starts in the home and with our responsibility as parents, trying to teach our own children the responsibility of when they, of course, turn 18 to vote. But it starts long before that.
We're kind of two generations out from where civics education used to be given in the schools. I've got some older 1950s and 40s and 60s textbooks for civics classes, and it's amazing what they taught kids.
It is. And if you were to poll, Charles, our students today, I'm embarrassed to think. Name two members of the Supreme Court of the United States.
Do one of those Jay Leno walk-arounds,
yeah.
Huh?
I think we would all be shocked at how little they know.
The discouraging one is ask them to name the three branches of government, and most of them can't do it. And it's just, you know, make it some kind of campus-wide challenge or something, you know, and then have teams that go to other universities or, you know, we got to start doing something, President Benson.
Yeah.
Okay, and I'm going to take off because I don't want to take up all your time. But
well, thank you very much for your point, Charles. I think it's a very, very good one.
Charles, thank you. This is Eastern Standard. President Michael Benson of Eastern Kentucky University with us, 800-621-8890. And John from Lexington is on the line. John, you have the words to the fight song. Is that John? Line six? Okay. That. Well, then we will go to John in a moment after we talk to George from Winchester, who's on, I guess, line five. George, you're not there. Yes, you are. I hear breathing. George? All right. Line six. Is line six still there?
Someone's got the worst of the fight song. They're going to tell them to us, John.
I know. And what prize will we give to the listener who calls with that answer?
I will get them some kind of EKU paraphernalia.
There you go. Yeah. Straight from the president's office. You don't give a key to the campus, do you? Like
to change the lights?
That magic key to change the traffic lights. 800-621-8890. Having a little bit of fun with Eastern Kentucky University President Michael Benson. Of course, serious business of running a university, but also campuses have to have a little bit of fun and a little bit of the lighter side. Actually, and turning to something much more serious, I mean, Charles talking about civics lessons and people understanding our government. The new administration in Washington, of course, has been big, big news for the last number of months, and especially since the inauguration. One of the big issues of the past couple of weeks was the president's executive order limiting travel from seven countries, predominantly Muslim countries. Has that, or would that, when it was in effect for just a few days, affect Eastern Kentucky University?
Well, I went to our international students' annual dinner last night, and I told them, I said, look, despite whatever you might hear out there, you know, the hubbub that's either national or international, I want you all to know, and they're from all over. There were students from Saudi Arabia and Korea and Spain and Portugal and Italy, and I said, you are welcome here. You are part of our Eastern Kentucky University family, and I've had the good fortune, John, of living overseas for a portion of my life, and I know what it's like to be a foreigner in a foreign land, and I know what it's like to not feel welcome, and I don't ever want any student to not feel welcome on our campus. And I asked Wentz, who works in our international students' office, how many of those of our students actually were from the impacted countries, and it turned out there were two. And they were in no immediate position to be impacted.
They have students who are already,
correct.
They're here on campus. So.
They are. So they were in no kind of immediate, I won't say danger, but position to be impacted immediately. So, you know, like I said, John, life is 10% what happens and 90% how we react. But I sent a message out to campus. I think you probably saw it.
We aired, requoted you, I'm sure. I know we did.
That, you know, it's important for us to extend our arms and embrace all of our Eastern Kentucky University family and create an environment that is inclusive and welcoming to everybody.
All right, let's go back to the phone, and we do have another caller on the line. This is Andy on the line. Are you there, Andy?
I'm here.
How about the words to the fight song? And if you're correct, President Benson will have a prize for you.
Well, these things have a way of morphing a little bit, but I'll do my best. You guys ready to go?
We're ready.
All right. Hail, hail, Eastern Maroons. You're the pride of dear old alma mater. Hail, hail, Eastern Maroons. For thee we give three rousing cheers. Dun, 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 dun. Rah, rah. Hail, hail, Eastern Maroons. Loyal to thee we stand. Ever fight for the right. We'll make our school the best one in the land.
Wow, Andy.
And Andy, how's it feel to have the president of the university as your backup singer?
Wow, I was the Pips and you were Andy.
Truth be told, he's my boss. I'm the director of bands at Eastern Kentucky.
Oh, Andy, well, thank you, Andy.
We're glad you know the words.
Andy, thank you, and I'll get you some swag. I'll get some EKU swag to you,
Andy. Thanks.
Don't let my colleagues in the vocal department hear about my singing. I'm sorry.
No.
I know you're an instrumentalist.
We won't put it on the radio or anything like that.
All right, go Colonels. Thanks, guys.
Thank you very much,
Andy. This is Eastern Standard with President Michael Benson of Eastern Kentucky University on the air with us live at 800-621-8890. Still time for you to get on board and be part of our program. We had a caller on line 4, not there any longer. How about line 5? Let's talk. No, callers are coming, and then they're going away. All right.
They were so intimidated by Andy's singing that they've dropped off.
On line 5, the caller had asked, please talk more about those autism certifications and what kind of training you were doing for mental health professionals. This is from Sarah from Danville about autism certifications.
That's a good question. I don't know if I can speak to that. I know we do have certifications within our speech pathology area. So if she can give me a little more information, I can. I don't want to make something up. So instead of speaking unintelligently about it, I will find out more about her and get her some information.
All right, Sarah, thank you. Or feel free to call back and we'll get your voice on the air and you can actually interact with President Benson about your question. 800-621-8890 is our number for this week's Eastern Standard Show, and every week's show. The show, of course, repeats on Sunday evening and is available as a podcast if you want to hear Andy's singing with President Benson backing him up. once again, it'll be there in perpetuity, I guess we should say. But please feel free to get on board with your question or your comment. Here's a call from Mark. And Mark is on line 6. Mark, thank you for calling. You are on the air with President Benson.
Hi, am I on the air?
You are.
I have a question for Dr. Benson. Nowadays, a lot of students are diagnosed with ADHD and the other attention deficit disorders. And some of them are on narcotics like Focalin that becomes prescribed quite frequently for people who have these problems. Mm-hmm. And I wonder what Dr. Benson has to say about that. And a follow-up to the gentleman earlier about preparation for incoming students, he was talking about civics. I wonder what he has to say about students in, they don't even teach cursive anymore. Not that people are writing, but I just find a lot of things like that kind of disturbing.
Yeah.
That's all I have.
Oh, thank you. Well, thank you for your call. I'll answer your last part first. I remember having to learn cursive, I think, in second or third grade. And I think this really kind of speaks to the diminution in our public schools of curriculum that we maybe were accustomed to back in our day that because of technology or, you know, texting or whatever, it's being lost. I look at my kids trying to learn cursive, and it's important. I still try and write it, and my cursive isn't very good, but I'm with you. I think the art of writing, I still have a fountain pen that I try and write personal notes with, and some people tell me it's not very legible, but still in all, my mother taught me that it was important to write cursive and to put that personal note down and that personal touch. So I agree. I think our schools need to do a better job. To the, your first part, yes, you know, obviously we have FERPA requirements. We can't talk specifically about students, but we do have counseling services available to students if they do have challenges, whatever it might be, mental health challenges or focus challenges on with focusing or attention deficits or whatever. They can certainly get the help they need, short of medicating. We certainly leave it to health professionals to come up with the diagnoses, and if they feel like they need medications to prescribe, we leave it to them. We certainly don't do that, but we have built-in professionals here on campus in terms of the counseling service that we can offer to students, and that's free and open to all students here on campus.
All right. Thank you for that call. We do have a few minutes remaining if you'd like to get on the line with President Michael Benson, 800-621-8890. Send a tweet if you choose at W-E-K, at E, wait, let me get this right, at W-E-K-U-E-S-T. Am I getting, I have so many Twitter accounts here. At W-E-K-U-E-S-T is the Twitter account for this program, and the phone number 800-621-8890. Dr. Benson, we've had a little bit of fun here today. We talked about some serious issues. What's most exciting for you right now on this campus at Eastern Kentucky University? What is the one main thing? I know you're driving around checking out the capital improvements because you're kind of like the head janitor in many ways, I guess, or head custodian to keep an eye on all the facilities. But what is really the one thing that if you could include in your legacy on this campus, what would that be?
Oh, well, that's a good question, John. I'm too young to think about a legacy, I think, but I appreciate your mention being a custodian. That was my first job, actually. I was a custodian at a large gymnasium in Salt Lake City called the Deseret Gym, and I've always taken great pride because my parents taught me to in the way a place looks, whether it was my home or my room or the place where I worked. Now, if you step foot in my office today, you'd say, hey, you need to take a little more pride in your office because I need to clean off my desk and tidy things up a little bit. But, you know, the way our campus looks and the way we present it to the public, I think it says a lot about the pride that we have in the institution itself. And when I got to EKU in August of 2013, I saw a campus that at its core was good. It was a good campus. The bones were good, but it looked a little tired. You know, it looked a little old around the edges. You know, the signage, maybe around the fringes, it needed a little bit of an update. And so if we've been able to spend our money wisely and be judicious and do it in a way that was creative in the sense that we used state dollars, but we also were able to leverage some of our partnerships with private vendors and with private investors to update our campus and to provide facilities that students want and need. Because believe me, John, if you don't have what students want, guess what? Their money is portable and they will go elsewhere.
It's a market.
It's a market. Mm-hmm. Yes, we have degree programs they want, but they're also looking for other things. And so if there's anything that I'm really proud of, I think that we've been able to update the campus and make it even better. And our degree programs continue to get more notoriety, and our quality continues to improve.
Let's quickly get to a caller from Richmond. I guess this person is a doctor from Richmond. Hey, thanks for calling. You are on the air with Dr. Benson. Go right ahead.
Hi, Dr. Benson. My question is very simple. What percentage of EKU students are gainfully employed?
I'm sorry.
What percentage of EKU students are gainfully employed?
You mean
you're talking about graduates, correct?
You mean upon graduation, what percentage are gainfully employed?
I think he may have gone away, but that I think that's the question.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
You know, that's a good question.
The
challenge with a question like that or getting data on that, you rely on students to kind of self-report. So we'll send out a questionnaire or an email to students to tell us if they're employed after graduation. There's no really way to follow up, but I'll have to get with our Career Center or our Student Success Center and give you that number. I can maybe post it on Twitter if that's agreeable, but I can get you that. I don't know it off the top of my head, but it depends on the field, obviously. You know, for example, occupational therapy, I know that the placement rate for occupational therapy grads is in the 95th percentile. So I can give you a number, but I'll have to go back and do a little research.
If you want to send us an email or a tweet, we'll get Dr. Benson to respond to that. Let's quickly go to Tyler from Richmond. Tyler, are you still on the line? We've got about a minute for your question.
Hi. I actually just wanted to make a comment to one of the previous statements about the curse of writing that I thought was interesting to mention. I'm a senior at EKU, so I'm about 21 years old, and I remember learning cursive in about third grade, but I do want to say that after third grade, a lot of my teachers didn't really care much to, you know, have us write in cursive. They would rather have us just write legibly. But I will say that my second or third year into the program, I had to take what's known as the praxis exam, which is a test for education majors. And one of the things we did have to do was, it was required, was write an entire paragraph in cursive. We actually had to copy the paragraph, and it was required to be in cursive. So I think it's, while a lot of people don't think that they'll ever need that skill again, you never know when it could come up. So I think it's important to be familiar with that, definitely.
Well, thank you. Very good point.
Thanks for being part of our show, Tyler. Thanks for tuning in. And thank you, President Michael Benson, for being part of our show. We don't do this often enough. We try to do a show with the president every few months or so. And what we need to do is, after this program, set one up for near the end of this spring semester, the end of this year, academic year, because we're always glad to get an update on what is happening on this campus and give our listeners an opportunity to interact with the president of Eastern Kentucky University. Thank you to Marissa Hempel and Noah Day, who are associate producers for our show. At the controls, Brian Bartlett for this week's Eastern Standard. And, of course, the program will be posted as a podcast probably within the hour on Thursday, usually early in the afternoon on Thursday. We'll have it up and running, and the show repeats on Sunday evening at 6 o'clock. We're always glad to hear from you, WEKU Eastern Standard at gmail.com. Again, Michael Benson, thanks for being with us.
My pleasure. Thank you, John.
I'm John Hingsbergen. Thanks for tuning in, and join us again next week for Eastern Standard on the WEKU stations.